Okay. All right. Here, sweetie.
You can take this one. Go back and say hi to Mama.
All right. We are going to have Camp Sunday in a couple of weeks. We are going to thinking about having it this weekend, but it's exhausting at camp. So we came back Friday. I don't know if I budged. Rest is good. Anyway, we're planning on having Camp Sunday in a couple of weeks, when we're just going to have all the kids back, and we're going to let you know through their testimony what we learned at camp this last week. It was a wonderful experience. I'd like to invite everybody to please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. It's a tradition in our church here to stand for the words of the Gospel. And again, if you're listening on the radio, we're aware that you're there, and we will hold you in prayer. Our Gospel comes from Luke chapter 11. We're just moving along through this summer in Luke, the heart of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answered from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search or seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches or seeks finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give gifts, good gifts, to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that your holy word would take root into our hearts, and that you would bless each one of us here, so that we might be a blessing to others, and that our life might bear an abundance of good fruit to the glory of your holy name. And I pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, thank you so much for coming today. What a blessing and a joy it is for me to be back. Thank you, Pastor Carol Morrell, for coming for me last week. Now, I'd just like to start at camp, at our Glacier Bible Camp, our Lutheran Summer Bible Camp. We oftentimes have Bible memory verses. We have little quizzes. And we ask the kids, what do you remember the verse for the day? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. That was one of the verses we took for the whole day. We just looked at that verse. So, I went ahead and listened to the sermon last week online, like I do whenever I leave. I love to hear the message, and Bev does a great job, Marge does a great job, Rose does a great job, Karen does a great job. Whoever preaches always does a fine job of sharing the love and the mercy of God. But last Sunday, boy, Pastor Carol hit it out of the park. Wasn't that awesome? Now, he left you with a quiz. I'm going to ask you if you can recite the opening prayer. That was the quiz, remember? The opening prayer. We'll just say it all together. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. What grade would you give, Pastor Carol? Okay, A+. A+ for everybody. I'll grade on a curve. Yeah, everybody's shy. But that was really wonderful. Again, our readings today all speak of prayer, intercessory prayer. Abraham is interceding for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah before God. And he's pleading with God. What if there's 50? It's kind of like a bargaining prayer. And finally gets down to 10. What if there's 10 good people? Won't you spare them? And then Paul, in our second letter to our second reading from Colossians, Paul's in prison in Rome, and he's writing back about 750 miles back to the east to the people of Colossae, to the church he founded, and he's saying, this is my prayer for you, that you will grow in the fullness of Christ, that in Christ is all things are in Christ. And he's just pleading with the people. This is his prayer. It's beautiful. He's praying for them. And then our Lord's Prayer. The disciples in today's our gospel today, the disciples come to Christ and they are aware that Jesus, whenever he does anything great comes up in the gospel, it's usually right after he spends time in prayer. Luke chronicles the importance of prayer in the life of Jesus Christ. And Luke references this numerous times in the beginning of Luke. Luke chapter 3, just before Jesus is baptized, he's in prayer. Luke chapter 5, when he goes into the desert for temptation, he's in prayer the whole time. Luke chapter 6, they find Jesus in prayer all night long. Luke chapter 9, Jesus is in prayer, and they come across him. They're looking for him. It's kind of funny. They wake up. I can just see him around a campfire. Okay, 12, where is he? Where's Christ? Who is that shining thing up there? And they kind of sneak up on him. And he's in prayer. And then later on in Luke chapter 9, he goes up to the mountain to pray, Mount Tabor. He actually goes to the mountain to pray, and that's when he's transfigured before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. And they have the glimpse of the glory. And it all started with Christ in prayer. So the disciples are very aware of the role of prayer in the life of Jesus Christ. And if they want to follow Christ, if they want to be Christ followers or Christians, and that if that's what we're here for that, we are Christians, we want to follow Christ, we want to emulate his life, we've got to be people of prayer. Prayer was as important to Jesus, just as it ought to be with us. Martin Luther King Jr. once said this. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Martin Luther King Jr., who led the civil rights movement, knew how vital prayer was to the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I was in Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they have a beautiful, across the street from the Ebenezer Baptist Church has been now transformed into a national park site, a National Park Service site. Right across the street is a big welcome center, and they have mementos of Martin Luther King's life. And a very moving spot was a coffee table, and it had a description of the experience. This is Martin Luther King Jr.'s kitchen table, and he had a cup of coffee early in the morning after threats all night for his life. The phone wouldn't stop ringing. He finally ripped it off the wall. People were throwing stuff in his yard, bricks through the window, and he was like hunkered down in his house, and he was afraid. And he had a cup of coffee, and he said a prayer, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. That's the prayer he prayed right there after the example of Christ in the garden. And he said he had a peace that surpassed all understanding. He came across him, and he knew what he had to do. He knew what he had to do. Powerful realization of what prayer can do for you and prayer can do for me if we stay connected to the Lord, if we stay connected to Christ. Again, we had a great camp. The anchor was a theme at our camp. Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R. We took those six letters and we broke it down. A-N was ask and navigate, or ask and seek. What does a navigator on the water do? But they're looking for a safe passage through the perilous waters. What do we do as Christians? We ask the Lord, we seek the scriptures for the proper way through the difficulties of life. The C-H is church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, so we need to pray for one another. And the O-R is ordinary. And I really loved how this scripture was used It's from Acts chapter 4. Now when, James, Peter and John, and they're at the temple, and they're surrounded by Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men. O-R, ordinary. Have you ever felt like you're just ordinary? That's a good thing. Okay, here goes. They were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus Christ. What a great gift. I pray that people will recognize me, my life, as a companion of Christ. That's really my prayer oftentimes for me. Lord, help me to witness of your love in my life. So they prayed. They recognized Peter and John as companions of Christ. They were amazed at their boldness. And they aren't these uneducated. These guys never been to seminary. These are just ordinary fishermen. They're from Galilee. Oy vey. Who do they think they are? A beautiful, beautiful a theme for us at camp. And we went over that with our children at the Bible camp. Ask and you shall receive. Seek the Bible for the answers and for the difficulties of life. And we are church. We are one body. So I need to pray. I ask you to pray for me. And even though I'm ordinary and sometimes I feel like a little ant in the midst of the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful world that we live in, God still uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew's addition is a little different than Luke's addition to the Lord's Prayer. This is actually Matthew's addition because of the thy will be done in there. Luke doesn't have that. And in Matthew's addition, we have thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the Lord's Prayer today, we have how holy is your name, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, and your will be done, followed by three petitions. So the first thing we do in our prayer, and again, Christ is giving the disciples a pattern of prayer. The disciples don't come to him and say, teach us a prayer. That's a distinction that needs to be made clear. They say, teach us to pray. So Christ gives a pattern. First thing we do is give all glory to God. We give God first place in our life. Holy is your name. You're an awesome God. And then only after that, we ask for things for ourselves. Give us our bread, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. And this is how we ought to pray. First priority is to give God all glory. And then we ask God for our needs, to help us for our needs. Luke directs his prayer to God himself. God is the focus. And so when we say Father, we acknowledge God as source. When we say hallowed be thy name, holy is your name, we acknowledge God as sacred. When we say your kingdom come, we acknowledge God as sovereign. When we say your will be done, we acknowledge God as superior. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge God as supplier. When we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those, we acknowledge God as Savior. And finally, we come to the last petition. When we say, lead us not into temptation, we acknowledge God as shelter. God is the ever-present shelter in the time of trouble, it says. So I think the best thing we could teach our children is to call God Dad. 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 Father. God. I love you. I love you. You're an awesome God. And that's a familiar language. That's very familiar. It's not this, we don't need God language. We know, oh, holy are you, Lord God. I mean, that's great and everything. But, you know, for our children, we need to teach our children to pray in a very familiar language. God, you are Dad, my Dad. I need you. I love you. I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect dad, but I know a dad who is perfect. And even though many of us have had dads that didn't quite measure up and made life difficult and maybe even violated us in some way, God, the Father in heaven, our loving God, is a God of unconditional love for each one of us. And so there's healing and redemption possible for all of us, for all of us. And we can grow into this acknowledgement that God is a loving dad and wants to shower gifts upon you because he loves you so much. So the first thing, our prayer is a prayer of adoration. It's a prayer of adoration. Father, you are holy God. And that means God is a sovereign God. And that's what Paul's getting at in that second reading today from Colossians, that the fullness of the deity of God dwells in Christ, that Christ is sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's what our prayer is. And the second thing is worship. Holy is your name. Your will be done. That's a form of worship. We worship you, Lord God. We acknowledge that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light, and there's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of sin, there's the kingdom of holiness. There's the kingdom of justice and peace, and that's what we pray for. And we pray that God would use us as a means to the end. That's a beautiful thing about our Lord's Prayer today. We acknowledge that God is sovereign. Have you ever thought about that? God, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 8, it says, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows all. God created all. And so what difference does it make if we pray or not? God knows our needs more than we know our needs. But the beautiful thing is that God wants to use us as a means to the end. So that's the beautiful satisfaction that you and I receive when we lay our life at the foot of the cross and we pray to God and we ask God to use us in some capacity to build up the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And the only way we can do that is if I line up my will with God's will. And there it is. There's Christ praying that prayer. Same prayer Martin Luther King Jr. prayed during the Civil Rights Movement. And that's forever immortalized in that museum across the street from Ebenezer Baptist Church. When he had an awakening, one of those God awakening moments, a spiritual awakening, a moment of clarity, when he said, your will be done. And he knew deep down inside of him what he had to do. And he just gave his life for that freedom, for that justice and peace. And that's the kingdom of God. And it's opposed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's what our gospel tells us. And so we need to be aware of that. Prayer is not only about God doing something for us, but really it's about changing me. That's what prayer, the heart of prayer is. It's about me changing my life in order to line up my will with God's will. And it's just acknowledging, God, I will obey you. And the third thing about our readings, our gospel, that prayer, that beautiful Lord's Prayer, is that God is a God of provision, that God wants to supply our daily bread. Did you see that? Our daily bread, not my daily bread. It's not me, myself, and I. It's our daily bread. So most of us have pantries, and in our culture, we have a beautiful, beautiful country we live in. We have preservatives in our food. We have cupboards full of food. It'd be a rare day if we actually ran out of food in our homes. And if we ever did that, just come over to the Holy Cross house because there's food over there. Every once in a while, I need to borrow a cup of sugar. I'll run over there, grab a cup of sugar, and run back home. I mean, you know, we live in a beautiful, beautiful world. But our daily bread reminds us that there are people in the world that don't have daily bread, that literally are working just to meet today's food requirements. Ying and I met in Bolivia, the poorest country in South America. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was a beautiful, eye-opening experience for us. We volunteered at many orphanages. And just to have food for the day, that was their prayer, our daily bread. So if you have your daily bread, remember that prayer, our daily. It reminds us of other people. It keeps us in solidarity with the poor all over the world, that we are connected in our Christian faith. Do you think about that? The kids in Manduli in that school, you know, they're going to worship service today. They're in church. People all over the world are in church today, praying the Lord's Prayer in many different languages. I love it. And we're connected with the Holy Spirit of God. And then that's what Christ then goes into this beautiful parable after he teaches the Lord's Prayer, this beautiful parable about a guy who had a visitor and he ran out of bread. He didn't have enough food. And hospitality was such a high value in the Jewish culture. It was part of their religion. So he was faced with the dilemma. Do I be a bad host or do I be a bad neighbor? He went with being a bad neighbor and then went and knocked on this guy's door at midnight. And it's like, hey, buddy, friend, it's me. I need some bread. And his buddy on the inside is like, no, wait a minute, what? The kids are asleep? In first century Palestine, it was kind of like Bolivia when we were there. The homes were just one room. I mean, one room, maybe a little elevated floor. And they cooked over here, and there was heat that got piped into that elevated floor. They slept up there. They rolled out a mat, and everybody slept together. That's how it was. It's really cool. That's first century Palestine. And then the door would be stuck in place, and there'd have to be irons and rings, and it was opened in the day, and it was left open all day. And then at night, they closed it. And so this guy is going to his buddy and going, hey, I need a favor. And he's like, what? I got a friend who's been traveling all night. And that's how they travel, because in the heat of the day in first century Palestine, the Middle East, it's hot and it's dry. So people traveled at night when it was cool. And then they would come up to a friend, and this guy wanted to be a good host, so he went to his neighbor, woke him up in the middle of the night. It's great. And this conversation's going on between this wall, and he goes, don't wake me up. My kids are asleep. I can't help you. He goes, well, this friend of mine came, and I got to serve him something, so I need some bread. He's going, oy vey, bread, 3 loaves of bread? I mean, it's not like it's an emergency. It's not like his wife's having a baby, or his son broke his leg, or there's a robber in the house. He's like, you just want to give him a midnight snack? Come on. Why are you? He's like, I just want to share the joy with you, neighbor. So finally, he admits to opening the door and giving him what he needs, not because he's a friend, but because this guy was persistent, shameless in his persistence. That's what the Greek word means there when you see that word in the gospel. When Jesus tells this beautiful little parable, and Jesus says, it's verse 5. Suppose one of you had a friend, goes to him at midnight. That shameless persistent, that just persistent. There it is in verse 8. He will, because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. Not because if he's a friend. He's just like, just go away. Here, take whatever you need. I'm tired of you guys. But the whole house was awake anyway. So that beautiful little parable starts out so simple. And then Jesus goes right into ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks will enter. And what this tells us, that God answers all of our prayers. Either yes, no, or wait. That's how it is. And so Christ wants us to grow in our mature in our faith life. And I think when I look at the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's probably one of the hardest lines for many of us to get through, is that forgiveness. Because some of us have been legitimately hurt by other people. And it's hard for us to let go of that hurt. And the natural inclination or the natural response would be revenge. I'll get even with those guys or that person or my coach or my dad or my uncle or whoever that hurt me. And it's very, very difficult to get through that. And I acknowledge that. But it's possible with God's grace, we can get through that. There's a beautiful story I came across about the importance of forgiveness. It's about, I think I shared this with you a long time ago. These poachers in Africa, they were poaching monkeys. And the way they did that is these monkeys at sunset, they would come out and they'd set up a cage and they'd fill it with fruit. And they have this cage connected to a stake and they'd pound the stake into the ground. And the stake was connected to a chain which was connected to a cage full of fruit. And so these monkeys would come out after the sunset and they'd stick their hand through the cage and they'd grab onto the fruit. And then they'd try to get their fist out, but they couldn't fit their fist out of the cage. All they had to do was let go and they'd be free. But they wanted that fruit so bad, they kept pulling on it, and the poachers would just come out from behind a tree with a ball bat and pop them on the head. All they had to do was let go. And that is so beautiful, an illustration of our life. So many times we've been hurt and harmed. Things happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We think of it, and it's just like it happened a second ago, and we're hanging on, and that grows bitterness in our hearts, and we just got to let go. We simply got to turn it over. Turn it over to God. Allow God's grace to heal and to let go and to forgive. Doesn't mean we forget, but we forgive. We forgive. Through God's grace, it's possible. It's all possible. So, my friends, let me just encourage you to pray boldly. Pray boldly this week. Pray boldly. Pray early. Pray often. This week. Pray in all circumstances. And I'd just like to close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.